you know, mindfulness. This like Tibetan express or you know Tibetan says it's very important for me and I think others too, like how to be mindful publicly in yourself alone when you know at your home or in your cave or retreat center. We say check your mouth when you meet people. Check your mouth. And check your mind when you're alone. When you're, you know, alone yourself. Check your mind. But publicly or in the people, check your mouth. Because so many transgressions, also defilements, bad karma creates by our mouth. And how many times your best friend become enemy or you know they don't like you because of your mouth. After you say something, you cannot take it back. Tibetan says also, you can take back you know your horse. But you cannot take back your words. That's true. There's a way to, you know, take back your horse, like Mongolians, Tibetans, even those wild horse, you can take back. Or like your wild dog. But your words, you know, outside the mouth, when you say something, you cannot take back. Yes, of course, you can apologize, but you cannot take the word back. It's already broken someone's heart. So when you with people or someone, check your mouth. If it needs like lock, so lock your mouth into the right time and be silent. You know, because silence keep your energy inside and the noise. Take away your energy. Maybe city people don't know, but like myself, who came from like a nomad place, you know, quiet place. Each time when I go to like a big city or downtown, it's making me tired. You know, it's take away the energy. So much noise there. At the same time, you know, when you talk too much, it takes your energy, especially the mindful or your peace mind or your calm mind, it's totally broke, you know, like a chop. So go to the quiet place is not enough. You have to keep your mind. Inside, like by the three doors of Tibetan Zen, those kind, you know, little by little, not like one day or one week, slowly, slowly, slowly. So the ancient meditators, practitioners, they go to like mountains or you know cave. Not only go to mountain and cave, and become simple. You know, it's a simple life, very simple, very simple. One teapot, one cup, you know, and one blanket or one like Tibetan, you know, the sheepskin chuba or whatever, those. And one mala. And ancient times there's no picture, you know. And the textbook. And one maybe begging bowl. That's all. Not only the monks and nuns, the lay practitioners too. They live very simple life. And then the second thing is silent, you know, keep the mouth. Especially like the, those speak from your mind. Of course, you are alone. You just recite the mantra of the sadhana, you know, you don't talk or speak, but your mind is, you know, talking, speaking. And then the mind, keep your mind 24 hours. Even when you sleep and dream, there's dream yoga in Tibetan Buddhism, in Tantric Buddhism. And we have like a dream catcher. I say the dream catcher, yeah? The American Indians, they have a dream catcher. So the daytime, you have to like be mindful. Think about, this is dream. Now I'm dreaming. Like now, I'm dreaming. This means be mindful. This is dream. This is a delusion. Like then you need something, like a ring or mala or something. Remind you, now you're dreaming. This is a dream. So you need a daytime dream catcher. Daytime dream catcher. Like myself, this ring is my dream catcher. Each time I show or I touch, I have to remember, you know, I'm dreaming now. This is a dream. Then, you know, when I go to bed, then, you know, every day or each night, I think, now, daytime dream and night dream connect. Like one dream, one dream. So, then in the dream, you will know, now you're dreaming, now you're sleeping, you're dreaming, of course you're sleeping, but you're dreaming now. Then you can practice in your dream. So many the dream practitioners, they travel, they visit in the dream, and they check like their parents or their friends, their lamas, what they're doing. The next morning when, you know, they tell, and it's exactly, it's true. In their dream, they can go there. They can see. They can listen. So it's up to determine how much you be mindful, careful. So in your dream also you be, you know, be mindful. So it's for the tantric practitioners, it's the same, daytime and nighttime. Most nighttime is more important because you're dreaming. And dream, your mind is very, very clear and sharp. Very, very sharp. And also very fast. You can do whatever. If you want to, like Buddha Amitabha's Pure Land, in a second you can go. Because you that time, you don't have this body, the fleshy body, bone body, you know, the very subtle body. So you can go anywhere, you know. So by daytime, you have to keep your mind. But one thing takes our mind, you know, takes our mind from mindfulness. Our ego. Last time, in last night, we already discussed ego. What our ego says, okay, the worldly things are very important, more important than your practice. This life is more important than next billion and million lives. Our ego says like this. Each moment, this life, today is more important than your luck, next 30, 40 years, something like that. So we listen to our ego. Yes, you're true. It's right. This life is more important than the next life. So our practice time is, you know, shorter and shorter and shorter. Finally, many people just give up. I met some American practitioners, like 20, 30 years ago, they were very, you know, serious practitioners. But slowly, 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 they totally quiet. Because their ego. Their ego says, you know, mindfulness is just, you know, it's nothing. It's meaningless. It's crazy things, meaningful. They were smart people, but finally they lost. Of course, they had been a perfect teacher, they received perfect teaching, they are perfect people, but their mind not perfect. That's the problem. Doesn't matter they are, you know, healthy or wealthy or whatever, educated person or people, but they just give up. Fortunately, many of them, you know, like kind of like reborn again, they want to practice again after 20, 10, 15 years. That's wonderful. That's so good. Because they are, I think, more, you know, of course, educated, like Buddhist, you know, the education, than the new one, new people. Already they learned. Easy to everything. So in Buddhism, how to like be mindful and how to practice, you know, shamatha. In the Wondu book, in Wondu, the preliminary practice, Wondu, we call Wondu, and until you purify your negative karma, you know, little by little, you cannot control your mind. Even you sit down like 9 days, but your mind is, you know, cannot be calm. Doesn't matter your body is relaxed and everything looks fine, but your mind is very, very like stubborn. It doesn't listen to you. Because the bad karma push your mind. Sometimes we call karmic wind below behind the mind. Like your mind is like a dry leaf, you know. So the then the karmic, you know, wind easy to blow the leaf. So traditionally, just shamatha, just sit down is not enough. You should purify the negative karma, you know, which is behind the mind. That's very important. Otherwise, just after the retreat, your mind will become crazy again. That's the problem. Tibetan kintang tena dangro. When something happened, it's ready to become crazy. Yeah, we know. What did we know? So the problem is not in the, you know, the mind, the, something behind the mind. That's the problem. So we need to like accumulate merit. Tibetan chosang dzhen. Accumulate merit and purify negative karma. Then your mind totally become. Then you can meditate the real shamatha. Without the accumulate merit and define, you know, say purify the negative karma, just it's temporary. like someone totally addicted alcohol or the drug. You know, when you go to the some those hardcore, you know, people get training, don't drink or don't take drug. Like it's similar, temporary. They listen, but out of those kind of center or hospital, they drink again. It's the same thing. Our mind. After you know you retreat, same, totally same. That already we knew. Already we knew. There's something happened. Why we cannot you know control our mind? Why our mind doesn't listen to us? You know, like Narupa, after he became well-known master, the child master, why he couldn't control his mind, even within 5 minutes? Because study Dharma is one thing. Then accumulate merit is also one thing. So those Tibetans, you know, they do the long the prostration, 1,000 miles, like Eastern Tibet, Central Tibet. Like 10 years ago, one Tibetan monk, you know, he did the prostration from Eastern Tibet, my area, to Central Tibet, Lhasa. Lhasa to Kathmandu, Kathmandu to Bodh Gaya, Bodh Gaya to Dharamsala. Prostitution. Unbelievable. This means accumulate merit and you know purify the negative karma. If you're a Buddhist practitioner, Buddhism practice, you have to have do these two things for your you know mind calm down. Of course, there's no choice. You know, if there's no those bad karmas behind your mind, of course, naturally your mind calm down. Like the most the normal children, if they you know if they are not hungry, if they are not you know thirsty, they don't cry. They're okay, you know, just laughing, smiling, you know. It's our mind like this, like a baby. You know? When it's hungry, thirsty, they cry. So you should, you know, like get food and milk. This means accumulate merit and you know purify the negative karma. Then your mind easy to control. Like even you visualize your deity, this time only during the visualization or during the meditation it's clear. Then after, it's gone. Yeah, it's disappear. But when you purify your negative karma, then one day, it's almost same. When you visualize deity or you know when you don't visualize deity. The deity is always there. This time we kind of like we're looking for the deity, yeah? Try to look for the deity. But that time, the deity is looking for you. Because your mind is pure. They're looking for who has the pure mind. Because it's like same, how to call it, nationality. You become like those immigrants came. You know, people come to United States. First, the refugee asylum. Second, green card. Then U.S. citizenship. It's totally same. First, just regular practitioner. Then. Later become Bodhisattva, green card, this means. Yes. Then become your citizen, that means now we have same rights. You become Buddha. Yeah? That's, you know, it's like this. You cannot jump. Many people told me or asked me, oh, they want to become Buddha. Most of them, no one asked me if they really want to become Bodhisattva. This means just want to jump, you know, like from the asylum to citizenship. They don't want to wait for the 4 or 5 years of green card. This time there's no way, this kind. The show card is like become US, you know, citizen is married, something like that, yeah? Even if you're married, you maybe 2, 3, 4 years, yeah? There's first a green card, then it's totally the same. Become Buddha. You must go through the level of the Bodhisattvas. Also within the Bodhisattva, there are 10 levels or 10 bhumis. Bhumis Sanskrit, called like ground or, you know, one by one. The first bhumi comes from the great love, compassion. So great love, compassion came from mindful. Peace of mind. Peace of mind. Equal mind. So peace of mind or ego mind came from, you know, kind of for immeasurable. Some of you know, for immeasurables. Love, compassion, what then?
Enjoy.
Then the last one is?
Equanimity.
Yeah? Well, look, for immeasurables. For immeasurables come from visualize or understand all mother sentient being your mother. It's kind of like a circle. Then this kind of, you know, the understanding all mother sentient beings your mother also come from mindful, peace mind. Love mind, like lovely mind or kind mind, or you know, kindful. So helps each other. Like same thing, the bad things, bad karmas, also they help each other. Like ignorance help anger, jealous help like anger. Help each other. We knew. There's a short story, maybe you have, you know, already have heard, one monk, you know, who ordained the monk, met a woman, you know. And the woman had one, like, you know, the one jar of Tibetan Bali Chang and one gold. Then the woman asked the monk, you have one choice. You want to marry with me or, you know, sleep with me, or kill the goat, or drink alcohol. You have to do one thing. Then the monk thought, oh, I cannot kill the goat, you know. I cannot sleep this woman. Maybe the drink alcohol is the best. Then he drink alcohol, you know. Then he drunk. Then he sleep this woman and they kill the goat. Yeah. If he killed the goat, I think he, you know, he don't, you know, sleep with the woman or he don't drink. But the alcohol directly your mind, you know, become, how to say, crazy or whatever. So we have to know the key, you know, which is the key. So alcohol is the one enemy of the mindful. Totally different person. My father, like if you read my book, when I was young, my father is totally, you know, addicted to alcohol. Badly. Not like a wine or beer. The white one, the, you know.
Chang,
you know. Then later, the Chang doesn't have tasty. They drink the really high liquor, you know, the the doctors used for, you know, clean needles. Very, you know, high, unbelievable. Some of his friends died. You know, their liver and their totally burning. Their tongue is like blue. Look, addiction there. Then so many things happened. So for Buddhist practitioners, of course, when you like do the tso offerings, you can test the wine or whatever a little bit, you know. But usually in your daily life, drink is bad. It's bad. It's totally opposite, you know, of the mindful. So if you drink lots, you should, you know, less. And if you like to gossip, you should stop. There's in Tibetan we call Dōwān Zhōngbiǎ Gù, the door of damn faults, or the door of, you know, lost your mind. One is gossip. Yes, that's true. That's true. Gossip is very, very bad. But sometimes we don't know. We are totally addicted. So we don't know which is gossip, which is not gossip. We think I'm, you know, like I'm telling the truth, but it's gossip. It's a big gossip. So gossip came from the judgment. You judge. He or she is good, he or she is bad. I'm the perfect person. You know, this kind of thing. So also the gossip is, you know, very bad for us, especially who try to be mindful. Gossip is very bad. Then anger is very, very, very bad. It makes our, you know, mind crazy and the body is unhealthy. We cannot sleep if you get so, you know, terrible angry. The delicious food, you know, doesn't have any taste. The beautiful, you know, environment is, there's no five colors, only white and black. Totally different. Then your family members, you know, they're also unhappy because yours, you know, you get anger. Then anger, you know, brings those bad wars, even, you know, physically fighting. Then totally mindfulness, totally gone. So be calm and peaceful person. It's very important. Little by little, then one day you can practice mindfulness. Just now, you, of course, you know, I'm trying to talk or speak, or you try to listen about the mindfulness. But this is just for, you know, temporary. You know. Like how to say, there's story that some magicians, remember, they make clothes for the king. The story from the Middle East. Have you heard?
Yeah,
of course. So the magicians make the beautiful clothes for the king, you know. The king believe, they believe, some governors believe, there's no one can see. So we're talking about mindfulness, it's like this, without practice. Especially when something happened that time, if you can practice, then it's empty. Especially that time. When your best friend become your enemy, that time, if you can practice like patience, that's the time. And when something like you got a terrible sick, that time. When your company fire you, that time. Yeah, this very good time for practice with mindfulness. Like myself, a few times I got this kind of chance. I tried, but it's very difficult. One time the Dalai Lama says, many people believe, you know, I'm a happy person, mindful person. He says, I lost my, you know, country, you know, I lost everything. Then if I become like, you know, crazy person, every day I sad or mad or cry, whatever, then it's a double suffering. I should be, you know, a happy person. Should be mindful. Because mindfulness or mindful is kind of like a medicine. The medicine for what? For sick. Yeah, the problems, the pain. If there's no pain or there's no sick, the medicine useless, become useless. There's sickness or, you know, disease or pain, then the medicine. Also, like, we have to know the right time. Like, if you have headache, you need the medicine for headache, not for, like, others. But this kind of center or this kind of place, environment, a little bit help us to practice mindful. Also, during when you listen to the teaching or the music, it helps. Also, sometimes, like myself, when I go to the dental, you know, the dentist, you know, and then just the time when they do something in my mouth. It's best time also to, you know, meditate the mindful. Because I cannot move. It's a very good time. They're busy, do something, you know, sometimes there's noise, the machine. But mind is very, can go deeply. That time I cannot fight with someone, you know. That time I cannot walk. That time I cannot read. I have to be mindful. It's good, very good. Like a drug and alcohol, only some, like the Indian, some siddhis, you know, my yogi siddhis. Some maybe with drug or alcohol, maybe they can do something. Like a Narupa, Telupa, you know, those realized masters. Otherwise, there's no chance. Some people told me, like Chujum Chongpa, you know, Chongpa Rinpoche. And even he was so drunk, but when he gave teaching, it's people told me, you know, he gave, you know, perfect teaching. But at the same time, many people believe the alcohol killed him. He died early because alcohol, people too. Yeah?
Yeah.
Look. Look, so alcohol, you know, doesn't kill his mind, but kill his body. So, like me, like an ordinary person, you know, of course, alcohol is very bad. Of course, maybe after dinner or lunch, you can drink, you know, one of wine or this, it's medicine. I don't know, it's medicine or not. In Tibetan medicine, everything is medicine. Really, everything. Oh my, unbelievable. There's one Tibetan medical book called Shekung Shentang, Shelkung, by one monk, Dimir Geshe, Tenzin Penso, Geshe Tenzin Penso, and he wrote this book. It's a famous Tibetan medical book, Shelkung, and the commentary called Sheltang. The root book was Shelkung, a piece of glass, or like a crystal. And Sheltang is the crystal rosary. Yeah. Everything is medicine, everything. In ancient Tibet, many things, but those things which they have medicine, everything, like whole plants, and like from the animals, all the kind of like meat, or bone, or horn, or whatever, like even the yak or dung, and dog poop, whatever. So, everything is medicine if you can use, For those yogis, the realized yogis, maybe alcohol is medicine or whatever, and alcohol help a little bit, but for us, I don't think so. So glass of wine is medicine or poison, I don't know. But I believe the fruit, like a grape, and it's good, very good. So the shamatha and the mindful helps each other. Already you knew. Mm-hmm. Already you knew. Shamatha and the mindfulness help each other. Sometimes shamatha first, sometimes mindfulness first. I think most time we need the mindful first. Then your mind will come. Mindfulness is like, how to say, the Mongolians, when they catch horse, they use the stick.
The whip.
Hmm?
The whip.
Okay, the whip. Oh. It's the mindful. Then they ride the horse. This person is like shamatha. And the horse is your mind. So there's step by step how to subdue the mind. Also there's a tanka or preacher about, because semni good, there are 9 level of mind. Remember the elephant?
The
elephant. Elephant and the monkey and the monk.
Yeah,
mm? Exactly. Slowly. Of course, first make it the room or an environment need quiet or peace, then your body, then the speech, then mind. So it's very important. After you totally subdue your mind totally calm, then it's okay, you can meditate on the street, it doesn't matter. Like Mila Rupa himself, after he realized, come back and give teaching. But it's also difficult, public. Remember, finally, the one Geshe gave him poison, Mila Rupa. Look, there's still the obstacles there. But like alcohol and smoke. But this time, one thing, if you don't smoke, if you don't alcohol, drink, but also the technology, like this kind of robot, your mind take away your cell phone, iPhone. It's destroyed the meditation, lots. Really. it's easy to, you know, connect others, but also it's very, very bad for the meditators. Even you turn off it, but your mind turn on it. Really. Like 10 years ago when I was in India and Nepal, the Tibetan monks, most of them, you know, they recite the mantras with the mala when they have time. Most of them, of course, they're busy for, you know, studying the Dharma or those things. But after 10 years, last year when I went to India and Nepal, not Nepal, India, so many monks busy with the iPhone. Really, unbelievable, like in Dharamsala, Nobulinka, in New Delhi, if there's like four monks, three of them, they don't talk to each other. The mala is lonely. Really, they're lonely. Oh my God, unbelievable. So there's addiction, you know, by your cell phone. Sometimes it's worse than the real drug. Because it's legal. I call legal drug. iPhone is legal drug. Many times it's destroyed the peace of mind. Of course, there's so many good things, but at the same time, so many bad things. Just jungle. But we have no choice. In this society, we need a cell phone, we need a computer, iPhone, iPad, camera. Yeah, I have those, all of them. Unfortunately, or fortunately. Not only the Indian monks, you know, everyone. When I was little, you know, there's not, no. When I was toddlers, also in Tibet, Nepal, you know, like cell phone is luxury. Really, only the rich people, you know, or who has, you know, the power of position, they use cell phone. But this time, it's you know, like, it's like your shoes. Everyone has cell phone, like kids, yeah. And yeah, unbelievable. The world, you know, changed. You know, I don't like against the, you know, the technology, but for the meditators, you know, it's very, very destroyed our, you know, mindful. And then last night, you know, we talked about the sensitive, because if we know the opposite of mindfulness, then automatically we know the, you know, the mindful. So the, like sensitive is almost number one enemy for the, you know, the mindfulness. Sensitive is, I think, the guarantee. Sensitive. If you're a sensitive person, you're not a mindful person. My experience like this. So which you make sensitive because you keep others' garbage in your mind. Because if someone says bad things, you know, then you get anger because you keep, you know, this bad thing in here. Someone say, you're a thief, you're a liar, you're a bad person. You keep the words, you know, from here to there. Then you keep here. Then you're unhappy. Why she or he say like that, you know? I'm not a bad person, I'm not a liar, I'm a good person. You keep the bad words here, then it destroys your mindful, your peace mind, your shamatha. So no one want to keep the neighbor's garbage in your yard. Yeah? It's totally the same. Why you keep the you know, their garbage, the garbage from their three poisons keep in your, you know, your peaceful mind? Throw away. It's useless. Even you know the useless, but you still keep here. You never want to forgive. You want to keep the garbage here until you die. Look, how can we become a mindful person? There's no chance. You keep there, the, you know, your neighbor's garbage, and then you say it's a smell. Really, it's totally the same. Of course, it's a smell. It's garbage. Why you cannot throw it? It's our bad habit. So until you throw away the garbage, it's a smell. Since you throw the garbage, you're fine. Then you can practice mindfulness or shamatha. Everything, it's very easy. So first we need to practice like forgiveness or forget. Sometimes forget first, then forget. Sometimes the other first, you know, if you can forgive, then forget. Then, of course, slowly, slowly forget. If you cannot forgive, then try to forget. It's very important. Then, secondly, try to meditate on shamatha or mindful. So, forgiveness is very, very important. Very important. You are happy, they're happy. Many people have this kind of bad habit. They don't want to forgive. Just keep here. One time, one lady asked me, you know, she thought she cannot forgive, you know, her ex-husband. She thought he is a terrible person in this world. So each time when I saw her, she's unhappy. Then finally I asked her, what's wrong with you? Then she tell me, because her ex-husband. And then I asked her, where's this person? She says, 1,000 miles away. Then what's wrong with her? Then I asked her, you want to be happy? She said, yes. Then, you know which, you know, makes you unhappy? She says, yes. Then what's wrong with you? Forget. Throw away. I told her, already you throw away your ex-husband. Now throw away those, you know, the bad habit, your anger. Forgive him. Because you want to happy person. This means she carry her ex-husband on her, you know, shoulder every day. Really, not only her, many people do the same thing. Carry their ex and on their shoulder. That's the problem. So just throw away the ex, and then forgive. If you can visualize this ex, your mother sentient being, or you know, that's wonderful. If you cannot, just forgive, then be happy. If you want to like win from your ex, if you be happy without him or her, you win. You are the winner. Because why you guys like separate? Because you want to be happy, he want to be happy. Then you guys separate. Why keep the suffering, you know, your whole life? So that's why I'm talking about the ignorance anger, they help each other. They help each other. Thank you so much. It's too long.
Okay, 2:15 by the big tree, and don't forget, get your questions together because we'll have 45 minutes to ask them after at 3:15.
Can you share one piece of paper for email address?
It's right there.
Oh, right there? Okay.
No, right there.
Oh, please, you know, if you never mind, you know, give me your... Then when I give those kind of talk and meditation class, I let you know, okay?
Yes.
Yeah, after 15 minutes, we go outside?
Yeah,
good. The weather, I hope the weather is okay.